ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Continuing series of talks about my role as a guru to all of you. I need to repeatedly stress that my only qualification is that I am a servant of Srila Prabhupada. You're also servants of Srila Prabhupada. I'm directly initiated by him. You are initiated by me. Then you may say, well, why so much big arrangement for me if I'm so, as I am, so small in relationship with Srila Prabhupada? Well, apart from that being required by Krishna, Mad Bhakta Puja Bhadika. Then, if my only qualification is I'm following Srila Prabhupada, well, following is not such an easy or such a cheap thing. To be a follower is theoretically quite easy. There's nothing very difficult about chanting Hare Krishna. Rising early in the morning, studying Srimad Bhagavatam, following the instructions in there. Physically, there's nothing very difficult, but it seems that especially in the modern age, many do find it difficult, and among Srila Prabhupada's initiated disciples, those who, well, the majority of them did not remain on the minimal, according to the minimum level of following that Srila Prabhupada prescribed for his disciples. So, even to follow, again, it's like chanting Hare Krishna. I mentioned this yesterday. It's not difficult to do. Anyone who has a mouth can do so, a mouth and a sound box, vocal cords in good shape. But it's difficult for persons with no devotion. Not only difficult, it's repugnant to them. They don't like it. So in the same way, it's very easy to follow Srila Prabhupada, but then We have bad habits, bad thoughts remain in the mind. The pull of Maya is very strong. The influence of bad association is very strong, by which persons who consider themselves our well-wishers will say to us, so why are you doing this? Why are you following this? Why don't you be normal? There's one quote, I think Kishore, he liked that one. You reposted that. That was some years ago. I said in one lecture that if you want to be normal, you can be normal birth after birth. You can go on being a normal cat, dog, snake, elephant, and so and on and on and on. That's normal for this material world, but if we want to go to Krishna, then we have to come out, we have to be abnormal according to the standards of this world. And when we do so, all the other people will think there's something wrong in this, and they will admonish us. Why are you doing this? Just like in the madhouse, if you start acting as a sane person, all the insane people will think there's something wrong with you. Why aren't you crazy like us? They think crazy is normal. So for various reasons, desire to fit in to society as it is, the karmi society, because of desire to satisfy the senses in various ways, we may desist. Ashadadhana purusha dharmasyasya prantapa aprapyama nevartante mrityu sangsara vartmani. As Krishna warns in Bhagavad Gita that those who are not faithful on this path of devotional service, they fall back into the path of repeated birth and death. So even to follow is not, it's not such a small thing. And to instruct others to follow, when the whole world is not interested in this, or is against this, that requires conviction. The opposite of that is ashraddha. Those who are ashraddhana, they fall back into this world. So, into this world of birth and death. So, Srila Prabhupada also said that when he spoke about his disciples in future assuming the role of gurus, he said, he's in a conversation, he mentioned that one small thing, he said, strictly following. If one strictly follows, then that was Srila Prabhupada's minimum qualification for accepting the role specifically of a Diksha Guru. So strictly following means rules and regulations, and not only rules and regulations, because it is possible to follow all the rules and regulations of devotional service and not make any tangible advancement. Because if one does so with the attitude that following the rules and regulations is all in all, then he is on the platform of niyama-agraha, which means niyama-agraha. Agraha means eagerness. He's a rules and regulations follower, not a devotee, not fully a devotee. And the opposite of that is niyama-agraha, not to accept the rules and regulations. So either way, we do not attain devotional service. So what does that mean? We should follow half the rules, or follow the rules half the time? No, it means we should follow all the rules all the time, but with the understanding that Krishna is bhavagrahi. He's not niyamagrahi. He's not exactly looking to see how we're following the rules, but he wants to see what is our attitude, if we actually want to please him. This is the minimum qualification of a disciple, is that you should follow, otherwise there's no meaning to being a disciple. And following means, yeah, not only in the matter of rules, but also trying to understand what is it that Krishna wants to, wants to impart to us. We say Krishna wants to. Does that mean Krishna is incapable? No, Krishna is fully capable. He speaks Bhagavad Gita, but he gives us the choice whether or not we shall accept it. Yathecha si tatha kuru. Vimrishaita dasheshena. I've explained everything to you fully in detail, Krishna says. Now you decide what you want to do. So what we should decide what we want to do, we should decide to do what Krishna wants us to do, and Arjuna certainly did that, ultimately. So we should understand what does Srila Prabhupada want us to do, what does our guru want us to do. Rules and regulations are required, but what is the purpose behind all the rules and regulations? Sarve vidhi nishedasya. What is that? Smartavya satatang Vishnu. Vismartavya najatujit. Sarve vidhi nishedasya. Etayar eva kinkaraha. To always think of Krishna, Srila Prabhupada translated this, and to never forget it. These two principles, which is actually the same principle, stated in two ways, just for emphasis. Always forget, always remember Krishna, and just in case you're thinking about it, always remember Krishna, and don't ever forget him. So, just to make it doubly sure, doubly clear. So, all the rules and regulations are meant to serve this principle. We shouldn't cheat, also. I remember, shortly after I joined the movement, one devotee was quite slack in following the rule of rising early. And when devotees would try to wake him up and say, no, I'm dreaming of Krishna, so don't wake me up. So that's cheating. Even if you're dreaming of Krishna, we have to get up and actually come to Mangalarti. Not only in dreams. So, a strict follower. This much minimal we should aspire to be. Of course, follower means we have to follow all the way to Krishna, all the way back to Godhead, back to Godhead. This term Srila Prabhupada used. It's a very important term for him. It was used by Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur for all of those who would say that Srila Prabhupada invented some theory that we fall from the spiritual world. Well, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur also used this term, back to Godhead. And he instructed Srila Prabhupada to make a magazine called Back to Godhead. So we have to follow back to Godhead. We've left Krishna, Krishna Bhuli, Seji, Vanadi, Bahimok, Atayev, Maya Tare, Deya Shangshar Duk. Forgetting Krishna, we've become inimical to serving Krishna. Therefore, we're given trouble, difficulties in this world of illusion. There's some devotees, they come from the spiritual world to pick us up. And most devotees in this world are in the category of those who are in the process of being picked up. So now you are glorifying me. And I could wind that up. I could make you more enthusiastic by telling you that, well, Krishna came in my dream and told me this, and I came from the spiritual world just to pick you up. You might become more enthusiastic, but Guru has to distinguish and help his disciples to distinguish between sat and asat. That is, that which is factual and that which is not. So there may be others who are messiahs or personal associates, or they may even be such great personalities that they're practically on the level of Dalai Lama or Mother Teresa. That was said sarcastically, by the way. But there's no need to write fiction or to spread fictional stories. The actual fact about myself is that I came from a very ordinary background, nothing special in any way. And by Guru Krishna Prasad, by the mercy of Guru and Krishna, I was inducted into this movement. So if you want to see what was my past before I came to the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada, there's nothing to say. Nothing. One born, went to school, got fed up with it, and wandered around here and there, confused, until I was mercifully accepted in this book. There you go, that's it. Nothing worth talking about. So, glorification should be there, but that should be, just as we sung in this song just now, Shakale Shanman Karite Shakate Deho Nata Jota Jota. It means we're praying for the mercy to offer respects to others as is appropriate. A Vaishnava can offer respect to all living beings. That doesn't mean that we go and find the pigs and put a garland on them and offer them Guru Puja. No such thing. But we understand that they are Krishna Adhishthan. Krishna is residing in their heart. So we don't give trouble to any living being, and we respect that they are living beings. Krishna is with them. Krishna loves them. But there's a gradation of how we offer respect also. Some indication of that is given by Srila Rupa Goswami, Krishna iti yasya giritam manasa adriyeta tikshesti, and so that, who is chanting the name of Krishna, we can offer respects within the mind, who has accepted initiation, we bow down to them, and who is fully on the topmost platform of devotional service, then we should fully submit to them. So there's no need to invent stories about myself. The fact that I, whatever my past may have been, nothing, like I say, nothing special. I wasn't especially pious, and I wasn't especially sinful either. I mean, of course, in this age, everyone's very sinful, but I wasn't spectacularly sinful. But the fact that I am, over these years, serving Srila Prabhupada's mission, that's enough, isn't it? We don't need it. Is there any need of inventing anything or bringing anything else? That itself is glorious. So you're also all you glorious. We're all, according to Shastra, we should understand that. Not that we go around saying, with a big t-shirt saying, I am glorious. But we should know that our life is blessed. We're the most fortunate persons because we have the opportunity to engage in devotional service by the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as received in Guru Parampara. We don't advertise ourselves. I'm so great. I'm so big. That is actually the opposite of a Vaishnava. Anyone who wants to glorify themselves or takes pleasure in glorifying themselves is a non-Vaishnava. Then you may say, what am I doing here? I'm sitting up on a big seat and seem to be quite happy. But the happiness should not be that now I made it, I'm a success, I'm a guru. I struggled through the ISKCON corporate ladder, I was a humble brahmachari, then I took sannyas, and now I'm a guru. No, we should be happy to see others happy in devotional service, and according to Shastra, according to Shastric directions, accept the glorification that they offer, knowing that this is all Srila Prabhupada's mercy on me. I'm Jogata Bichare Kichu Nahi Pai Tomara Korona Sha. I have no personal qualification, but by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, I'm in this position today. And we also shouldn't think that the goal of life, the goal of Krishna consciousness is one day I shall also be sitting on a big seat and others will be glorifying me. There's a total misconception. Our aim should only be to serve Krishna. So if Krishna wants that we shall serve him by sitting on a big seat, then we shall accept that. If Krishna wants that we shall serve him by scrubbing the floors in his temple all our life, then we shall accept that. This should be our attitude in devotional service. We should we should not become self-infatuated, narcissistic, but should know that all praise is meant for Krishna. But because in this world so few people are glorifying Krishna, then those who do glorify Krishna and who direct others to do so, they're also glorious. So our attitude, the attitude of each Vaishnava should be, we should praise others, especially we should praise the previous acharyas. We should not desire praise for ourselves. This is the meaning of amanina manadena. We should be eager to offer glorification to others and not eager to be glorified ourselves. Is that supposed to keep off the mosquitoes? They seem to be being attacked on this side. So come around here. We should understand that we are very insignificant. Very insignificant. We should not desire money, power, prestige. It's possible. It's very possible within ISKCON. It's a religious institution, so easy money is there. You can go out and make some collection and people give it because they, pious people, they like, in this country at least, pious people like to give because they think that this is a good organization. Because it's an institution, there is power, position, or we may simply desire, we may not be so ambitious as to desire power and position, but we may desire a comfortable life, that we don't have to work very hard, but we simply do a little Hare Krishna here and there, and we can live comfortably. By the great that Krishna, people give donations, and we sit and give blessings, and then we live comfortably without making much effort. So it's possible. It's possible within this movement to live comfortably, or even to be, to get oneself in a situation where one is glorified. It's possible to, especially for those who are gurus and sannyasis, to drop hints about their inner life, of their being personally in the Rasa Leela with Radha and Krishna or some such thing. But all this is some process of cheating. We may have by doing this, we may have power, prestige, position, glorification, but we won't please Krishna. And then it's all useless. Shrama evihi kevalam. It's even if we're glorified as a great guru, savior of the world, direct associate from the spiritual world or whatever, we may be glorified like that, but if it's not true, then what is the point? And even if we are a direct associate directly from the spiritual world or whatever, still we have to instruct the followers to chant Hare Krishna, rise early in the morning, follow the four regulated principles, and so on, so that they may, so that the followers can come up and become advanced. So all this idea of let me be big, let me show, make a big project and show others how I'm doing so well. Not that we shouldn't do big projects, not that we shouldn't do big service, but if the attitude is if the main thing is simply to show others, then it's petty, just like the foolish materialists. There's a story in the Bible, which I remember from way back, that I can't remember exactly, but it was like this, that there was one poor widow who had very little money, and she offered half of what she had in the temple, in the Jewish temple. And there were some rich priests. She offered half the money she had. She went in very quietly, not showing anyone, because she's a nothing in society. And in the temple also were some wealthy priests, Pharisees, who were making some ostentatious show of offering riches to the temple. So Jesus told this story. I don't know, it's an actual story. But he said that the widow, the priests, they got their reward in this world. In other words, they became glorified by others as greatly religious persons. Whereas, Jesus said, the widow who gave Gupta Dan, secretly she offered, but actually, in relation to how much money she had, she offered much more than the priest did. And the priests, even though they gave a lot of money, they still remained very wealthy, but she hardly had any money even to eat. So Jesus said that she got her reward in the kingdom of God. So if we desire lab puja pratishta, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he warned against this. Material gain, position, honor, we may get that, but we may not get the mercy of Guru and Krishna. And actually all these things are very, very petty and insignificant. If we actually understand what we're meant to be doing here in Krishna consciousness, which means to get free from the illusion of this material world and surrender our life fully in the service of Krishna, then why should we be attracted to such petty, insignificant things as being honored by others, as being a big shot, or some such thing? So we should not be distracted. Give our life, give our soul for the service of Srila Prabhupada and the acharyas. We should not be distracted by the paraphernalia or the possibilities that come in devotional service. As we go on in devotional service, it may be that someone is doing very simple service, very sincerely. He's noticed for that, so he's given more responsibility. He goes on and does more service very selflessly, and gradually in this way he's given more and more responsibility, until the same devotee who was very humbly serving in a very menial way, because of his sincere service attitude, he's gradually, others notice it, and he gradually attains to a big position, but then in the course of his being promoted, as you might say, he starts to notice, oh, others are seeing me, others are respecting me. Oh, now I have this position. But they're respecting this other person more, because he has more respondents, more temples under him, and written more books, and is a better kirtan leader. So I'd better do some more. I have to open more temples and write some books and practice how to lead kirtan so that I can get ahead. In other words, the consciousness has become polluted by pettiness. Even though one seemed to me be very, very big in terms of consciousness, very small. So it's natural that as a devotee goes on in devotional service very seriously and very steadily, even if they're very quiet and unassuming, it's natural that in course of time they will be noticed for that. There are several devotees in our movement who very quietly and unassumingly serve the deities year after year, and gradually devotees notice, oh, he's so steady in the service of the deities. That's more likely to be noticed. If one is taking out the garbage year after year, you're less likely to be noticed. But that honor, that will generally come if one is a senior devotee, if one has been initiated for many years. But we should, that honor is there within Vaishnava society. Should accept that for those who are senior, they should guide those who are junior and offer blessings to, but we should accept that humbly. Always remembering that constitutionally, I am insignificant as a jiva, one of the unlimited jivas, and that even in terms of devotional service, others may respect me, but what is my position? I am tatastha. I am a jiva who is subject to falling. So others may honor, but I have to be careful and not be victimized by my own foolishness of thinking myself to be very important. Now, talking about myself again, I was saying about within an institution there is power and position, and I have some power and some position, although I don't have any official position in the institution such as a GBC member or any such thing. I'm a sannyasi, a somewhat senior one now, compared to those who are being newly inducted. I have disciples, so some power is there, you can say. But I'm trying to resist becoming overly institutionalized. Institutions, religious institutions, we can say they are a necessary evil. Not evil in and of themselves, but institutions tend to attract the wrong kind of attitude. Because in an institution there is power, position, money, then those who attain these via or within the institution, they may be victimized by that. So I'm trying to avoid that. And it may be also that in an institution, those who are in positions of authority, they support each other to keep each other in positions of authority, so that even if they're not fully and properly discharging the duties towards other for which they were appointed to that position, that they won't be removed from that position, because those who are in position help to keep each other in position. So if one has some a position such as a temple president or GBC or guru or whatever, their duty, having accepted that position, is to help those who are subordinate to them to come up in Krishna consciousness. But instead of that, if they're more concerned with keeping the position, no one should challenge my position, whatever I do is absolute, no questioning, then we're misusing the position. But those who are in position, they tend to, because if anyone has any complaint, it has to go to someone else who's in a position. But generally they don't like to hear such complaints because they think, well, if I listen to the complaint about another leader, if I admit that there can be something wrong with him, then next thing is someone will be complaining about me. So this is a fault of institutionalization. So I'm trying to avoid that and not get involved in all of that, which can make life difficult in some ways. And it may make life difficult for all of you also. I won't elaborate on that now. I've spoken about these things in some detail. Sometimes my disciples are discriminated against for being my disciples, for not being the disciple of what others consider to be a better guru, or means their guru, or whatever. But we shouldn't reciprocate in the same way. It may be that at some point in time, my disciples in some areas are in a majority, and they may think, well, in the past we were discriminated against, so we'll discriminate against them now. It's like the Bahusas syndrome. The young girl gets married, she's psychologically tortured by her mother-in-law, and then when she grows up, then her daughter-in-law comes in the home and she says, all those years I was tortured, now I'm going to torture her. And it goes on like that. So we shouldn't be like that. We should try to be Krishna conscious, not hold any grudge or envy, nor should we get into the syndrome that others are in, who think that our worth as a devotee is measured by our achievements. You become actually a devotee when you build a big temple, especially, that's the main thing, or if you have many temples under you, and this way those who have actually a very neophyte conception of devotional service, even if they are in a big position, they think that this devotee is this, he's really good because he built so many big temples. They may even be envious of that also, but they give respect. So we shouldn't get into this syndrome of trying to impress others. We should try to serve Srila Prabhupada's mission in the best possible way. So many things to do, big work to do. But that work, we should undertake it not with the idea that by doing so, others will be impressed. Then I'll be happy. At last, I'm recognized. No, simply with the attitude that we have to do this as service. So we shouldn't try to impress others with our achievements, nor should we be envious of others for their achievements. We should give credit where it is due, but at the same time, we should seek out the association of devotees who are seriously endeavoring to be Krishna conscious and who are not waylaid by petty considerations. Now, it doesn't mean that everyone who's building a temple and I'm not saying that they're doing it simply out of some desire to impress others, but that syndrome is observable in some. So, like I say, I'm trying to be not to be overly institutionalized. Our aim is to follow Srila Prabhupada. We also don't want to fit into some stereotype of being a rebel or a black sheep or any such thing. Our aim is to serve Srila Prabhupada. If in doing so we sometimes have to be at odds with others who are in the service of Srila Prabhupada, then we have to accept that. Of course, Srila Prabhupada wanted us to cooperate, but cooperation does not mean blind following. We should discriminate between what is right and what should not be, what should be done, and what is not right and what should not be done. We don't care. Our aim and object is not that we have many followers or that we're respected devotee within Vaishnava society, or we shouldn't also act in such a way simply so that others will not criticize us. Simply we want to see what is the best way we can utilize this human form of life, considering my present situation. What is the best way I can utilize it in the service of Srila Prabhupada and the Acharyas? Whatever that may be, we should see. We should see what is the best way to serve. And then when we chant, Jai, Jai Prabhupada, that will be meaningful. Otherwise it becomes a ritual. If we're not really thinking how to serve him in the best possible way, if we think we can do what we like, how we like, whenever we like, if we like, that is not service. Service means to think, what does my guru want me to do? What does he want? That I should do. This is how we should pass our life. Now, of course, Srila Prabhupada gave different instructions and allowances in devotional service in various fields. For instance, when he first introduced deity worship, it was extremely simple. Later on, he gave more rules and regulations. In the beginning, he gave very few rules and regulations. In the very beginning of this movement, there was no regular Mangal Arati. And it was a few years before the morning class was instituted, and even later that the Guru Puja was instituted every morning. So in the beginning, Srila Prabhupada was just giving the basics, and gradually he introduced more and more of the rules and regulations and the standard process of devotional service. And Srila Prabhupada did give different instructions, means detail, the same instruction for everyone to chant Hare Krishna, follow four regulation principles, preach Krishna consciousness. But he gave somewhat different instructions to others. Srila Prabhupada allowed some devotees to do some things. We should try to understand exactly what Srila Prabhupada wanted, because he may give some instruction, but then seeing the disciple not ready to follow it fully, he may give some allowance. So that because he gives an allowance doesn't necessarily mean that it's the highest standard. And the highest standard, as when Srila Prabhupada was present, now also it may be that not everyone is ready to follow that. Of course, in some areas, like deity worship, there should only be the highest standard. In personal behavior, we should also try to come to the highest standard, but for everyone, due to various circumstances, it may not be the same level. They may not be on the same level of being able to do so. For instance, many devotees are householders and Some of them, they have to work late hours or odd hours. So for them to have a full morning program of sadhana every day is practically impossible for them. But the aim should be to try our best, to follow in the best possible way. Trying our best, at the same time there are various factors that we have to consider, just like householder devotee may put everything aside and have a full morning program of sadhana and then again in the evening, but then spend very little time interacting with his other family members, who therefore become disappointed with him, so he also has to give time to them. Maybe even doing less sadhana than he'd like to. So the general instructions are there for everyone. How we apply them in our life, that may be individualized. But the essence is that we must try our best sincerely to practice Krishna consciousness as given by Rupa Goswami and given to us in parampara by Srila Prabhupada and by myself. I'm giving what Srila Prabhupada gave. That is my duty to give to you. So you please try to follow that. Some people say that I'm a strict follower of Srila Prabhupada. I try to, because I think that what he's given us, that is perfect. I don't want to try to adjust that. Of course, as I was saying yesterday, it's not that we are exactly clones. So there may be some, everyone has their some individual attitude or way of following. It's not that everyone is exactly the same. But our general attitude should be not to take some interpretive license to do what we think. We should try to follow strictly and refer everything according to Guru, Sadhu and Shastra, not according to our own imagination. Now, I know this strictness can be demanding. Of course it's demanding. If we're very loose, then it becomes much easier, but we also don't advance properly in Krishna consciousness. One aspiring disciple of myself, now he's initiated, he told me that he had darshan before he was initiated with one of my godbrothers, who's also an initiating guru within our society. And so he asked about that devotee, what's your name? Are you thinking about initiation? And he said, yes, I want to be initiated by Bhaktivikaswami. So that guru said, well, you know, he's very strict. And the devotee said, yes, that's why I want to be his disciple. So others may say, oh, he's very strict, I don't want to be his disciple. Others may say, oh, he is strict, that's why I want to be his disciple. So I didn't canvass for all of you to come to me. If you come, expect that there'll be some strictness, but that is for your benefit. That's for your benefit, because these rules and regulations are given by Krishna for our benefit. If we don't follow, then what benefit will we get? If we think, all right, I'll be a devotee, I'll chant 16 rounds, maybe not every day, but anyway, it's when I feel like, when Krishna inspires me within the heart. See, it has to come from the heart, Prabhu. All these rules, it stifles bhakti. Bhakti comes from the heart. So when I feel like it, I'll chant 16 rounds, and the rest of the time I'll sit in front of TV watching cartoons and eating popcorn. I won't drink alcohol. Most of the time. So we can think like this, but that won't, of course I'm exaggerating, but there may be cases like that. But the idea that I won't follow strictly and I'll get the same result as those who do, that is a kind of cheating. The rules, I didn't invent the rules. They're given by Krishna to help us. So it's simply my duty to tell you about them and tell you why you should follow them if you want to be Krishna conscious. But I realize that this strictness might be demanding for you. Well, that's good. Just like the parents, they may want that the children be disciplined. So I'm told in Sri Lanka, up to the present day, there are shops with paraphernalia for teachers, including different kinds of bamboo for beating the children. And the parents encourage. You say, if my boy misbehaves, you should beat him. That's probably illegal in most countries now. Srila Prabhupada also didn't encourage it. But the point is that spare the rod and spoil the child. That discipline is required to help us to come up in Krishna consciousness. It may not be physical discipline, but the discipline of rules and regulations. So those rules are there. I just read this morning one early disciple of Srila Prabhupada, a lady disciple, she wrote or she stated that in the early days of the movement, Srila Prabhupada was, what was it, lenient and merciful? Something unmerciful. Very lenient and merciful with his lady disciples. But later, I'm paraphrasing here, he became more strict. He was very merciful, so there was no division between us. She related an anecdote of how she was used to sitting right next to Srila Prabhupada in the lecture. She was very eager to hear. She never thought, well, I'm in a woman's body, so I should remain at some distance, because there's no such culture in America where she came from. There might have been such culture, because at least in England, where I was born, in the churches, at that time, men and women would sit on different sides. Nowadays, if anyone even goes to the church, I'm not even sure if they sit on different sides. Probably not. And the women would cover their heads, which probably they don't do now. I'm talking about in Catholic churches in England. But anyway, this lady disciple related when she came to India at the Arda Kumbh Mela in Allahabad, in January 1971, at Prabhupada's lecture, would sit at the front, but she was told, you should sit at the back. And she became hurt by this, and when she related this to Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada confirmed that this is the etiquette. And then she understood that, but she thought that in the beginning, or from her writing, it gives the impression that in the beginning Prabhupada was merciful by letting us sit close to him, and later he became more strict. But we should understand that in the beginning, yes, certainly Srila Prabhupada was merciful by not insisting to his hippie followers that they follow basic human standards of behavior. We're not even talking about any high level of spiritual practice. It's just civilized human behavior is that men and women don't mix very intimately except in the family relationship. But Srila Prabhupada was merciful inasmuch as he didn't impose that on his female followers in the beginning, understanding that they were not psychologically ready for that. Then later on, he was merciful by gradually introducing more rules and regulations. So in this case, it was not himself who told the lady in question, but when other of his disciples instituted that, Srila Prabhupada went along with it. So that's another aspect of his mercy. So in the modern age, all these rules and regulations are going away. Although I did notice at just after 7 o'clock this morning, as I was driving from the place where I was staying at to here, I noticed the girls and boys going to school. They must age 14 or 15 by the uniforms. You can understand they're going to school, and some boys were on one side of the road and one single girl was on the other side. Whereas in the big cities of India, especially if we go to Pune or Bombay or Vallabhvidyanagar, it's not a big city, but it's sufficiently degraded. You'll find the boys and girls, they're walking all together. And they think they're more advanced. This is better. No restriction. But here there's still some restriction going on. Of course, I would say that not only should the girls not go to school, but the boys also shouldn't. That kind of school better. If we say, should the girls go to school or not, they'd say, no, they shouldn't go, and the boys also shouldn't go. But that's another subject matter. The school, slaughterhouse school. We don't want to, don't anyone to go to such a slaughterhouse. So in the modern age, all this mixing is going on, and those devotee female disciples, they may feel they're at some more distance, but we should understand that the opportunity to serve, that is there for all devotees. It doesn't depend upon physical proximity. Of course, physical proximity is required for some. Some devotees have that service of physically serving prasadam to the guru, arranging the bedding, arranging the bathing, and so on. But it's the attitude of service that endears one to Guru and Krishna, not exactly the service performed, even if one is doing so physically very closely. About one of the most intimate associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Sarup Damodar, who after joining Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Puri, from that time on he would spend many hours every day in the personal association of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Not all the time, he had a separate residence, but many hours every day. He was generally always with him. So about him, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami describes, Shrup Goshair Bhagyan Ajay Barnan Prabhute Abhishtat Jar Kai Bakamon, which means that there is not possible to describe the good fortune of Sarup Damodar because his body, words and mind were absorbed Prabhute. Prabhute literally means in Prabhu, in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Srila Prabhupada translates this word Prabhute as in the service of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he was completely absorbed in the service of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, physically and personally, but it is possible to be fully absorbed in the service of Hari, Guru and Vaishnavas without being personally and directly in the association of the Guru. And in fact, in many cases, one may serve better by not being directly in the association of the Guru. For instance, Srila Prabhupada spread this Krishna conscious movement all over the world, not by keeping a band of disciples close to him, but by sending them out to different places. And also for ladies, it may be said that they'd like to be around me all the time, but they have different duties to perform in Krishna's service. They have to look after their children. Another thing is that sannyasi should not be seen to be surrounded by women. There, in India, there are some sannyasis, recent times, who are known as being ladies' men. This is absolutely opposite to what a sannyasi should be. So, ladies, they have full opportunity to serve Krishna, but in a somewhat different way. That's all. They may also attain the full result of Krishna consciousness, but their manner of performing devotional service may not be exactly in the same way as in the male body. It's not a disqualification for devotional service. But it's better for me and for everyone else that we follow the traditional guidelines of restricting association between the sexes. In the name of so-called devotional service, well, we're all spirit souls, don't see the body, all mix up as you like. But Shastra tells us that we should, even though we know that we're not the body, still we should see the body. We should see the body in the sense that conventionally we have to discriminate between male and female and not mix up altogether, because that will be a cause of fall down. The basic principle of material existence is attraction between male and female. And until one is fully self-realized, that attraction will continue. And even if one is fully self-realized, he should still maintain the separation between male and female so that others do not misinterpret that and in an unqualified state try to follow that example. There are Avadhut Babajis like Gorki Shah, Bhangshidas Babaji. They didn't follow any strict rules of devotional service, even regular bathing and regular chanting. They were completely absorbed in love of Krishna, but without having to follow any rules, and nor did they follow any rules in particular because they were not preaching and training disciples. But nevertheless, one rule which they very strictly followed, both of them, is that they did not associate with women. Much more strict than any sannyasi in ISKCON could dream of being. They wouldn't allow them near. So just to that point should be clear, that point should be made. So we should follow these traditional guidelines of restricting interaction between male and female. That will protect us. That will help to protect us. Otherwise, our position is dangerous. Maya comes in the form of many forms, Bahurupini. She's in many forms. But especially that is in attraction between male and female, that attraction can be channeled toward Krishna in family life when man and woman come together to serve Krishna. So anyway, I've said all these things many times before. I've given many lectures that especially I'm speaking for my disciples. Others can listen also, but it's especially meant that those who have committed themselves to take guidance from me in devotional service. They should hear from me, and therefore these lectures that I give, these are being recorded so that others can listen to them in future also. So I've given many lectures on these topics, which I want that my disciples should hear and understand. I have to help you come up in Krishna consciousness, but I can help you primarily by giving instruction and explaining why, what we should do and why we should do it. So then you have to hear to take the instruction. I've given various lectures on, for instance, on pronunciation of the prayers that we sing every day, on gender roles in devotional service, deity worship, about why I am reticent to give Brahminical initiation. I don't just give it to everyone after they've been in the movement for, after they've been initiated, first initiation for 6 months. I don't plan to give it to most of my disciples. Why is that? There's a reason for that. I've given several lectures in detail, warning devotees who are in the positions of leadership not to become diverted, not to develop wrong attitudes which will impede their own devotional advancement, and in the name of leading others in Krishna consciousness will also impede the devotional advancement of others. So I've given several lectures on various topics like this. Some of my disciples are regularly listening, taking these instructions very seriously. Others may not be hardly even aware that those instructions are there. So I request those devotees, especially those who are leading others under my tutelage, to hear and understand these lectures. There's some very specific ones which are meant for disciples. Those who are aware of these lectures, they may inform those who are unaware, so that they encourage them to listen to them, because that is meant for their benefit. Otherwise, sometimes it can be quite frustrating to see devotees becoming victimized by their own anarthas or contaminations, and they can't hear me. I can't. They're my disciple, but I can't correct them because they think they're right, and they can't imagine that they can do anything wrong. So either by directly speaking to them or by making various points in classes, it can be frustrating for myself that persons with ability in Krishna consciousness, ability to lead others, but because they're fixed in some way of thinking, and they may think that they're doing it all in my service, but the result that I see, I'm not so very pleased with. So I see them, they're causing harm to themselves and harm to others. But if they can't hear what I have to say to them, then I can't help them. So Hare Krishna, I'll finish now because I have more to say. There's always more to say. But now we're going to have a book release of several books which have been prepared. You're not aware of that? You're looking. You're aware? Yeah. have been prepared by various of my disciples who are working very hard to produce these books. So, Vrindavan Chandra, do you want to do this? You can release the books, say what they are. Hare Krishna.